live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay, first of all, let's just say this. It's saying they found an alleged meth lab in Northeast. It's like, why do they even need to... It's like finding alleged bottles of malt liquor in Oakland. You know? There's just... It seems like the alleged is just sort of extraneous there.
Alleged murder victims in St. John.
Yeah. It's like, there's room for error somehow. I might all just be... It might just be some sort of a still. You know? All right. Hey, it's 3 minutes and 2 seconds after the hour 12, and this, the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2004. It's a Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk Tonight, KHK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by to listen and to grow wise and to draw near and gain the lessons. Brought to you by this very fine radio program. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KHK newsroom. Coming up later on today, and all this stuff coming up today. Which is amazing, because I showed up just unbelievably late, and yet I've still... Here's the thing. I showed up so late today. I don't know why. Either the alarm clock... Do you ever do that thing where you wake up... And you know, we've talked about the phenomenon of oversleeping before. You wake up, and the first key that something is wrong is that you're rested. You know? You wake up, and... Ah, boy, I feel great. Oh, crap! You know, and you just look at the clock, and... 11:12. And you realize that, you know, you're supposed to get... Like, you're supposed to be at work, like, an hour and a half before. This probably doesn't happen to you, because you... See, the thing is, you all probably get fired if you're late to work. I just, not me. I just come here, and I'm just running behind the whole day. So, I guess, you know, if I was here at 12:30, I'd be there. Anyway, so I try to be here by, you know, between 9:30 and 10. So, wake up this morning, it's like 11:15, and it's that thing of either the alarm clock did not get turned on before Laura left the house, or I did that thing where I turned it off and then forgot about it. Like, I don't remember the alarm going off today, much less do I remember leaning over and turning it off. I'm willing to stipulate that may have happened, though. What was I talking about? Well, this is going to be a great day, I can already tell. Freaking 2 minutes into the show. Okay, where was I?
You on your coffee consumption?
Well, it's not even that. Can you imagine how senile I'm going to be as an old person? I can't remember what I was doing 2 minutes ago now. I'm 30. I'm not even middle-aged yet, and I can't even... Where was I? Well, then, what were we talking about? I'm already the old guy nobody likes to listen to, and I'm not even 31. Yeah, whatever. Next, I'll have...
You're getting your 40s.
Next, I'll have ear hair. Well, whatever. Hey, coming up later on today, of course, the New Hampshire primary going on, so we've got the CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, who's there, because I guess the Zogby poll or whatever says the Dean is like 10 down, and we'll see what Pat Buchanan thinks about it. But we'll get the official word on the New Hampshire primary from John Bisney. Academy Award nominations came out today. Lord of the Rings up front with 11. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop about that. And, of course, the world continues to go to hell in a handbasket. So on that score, we'll have Clyde Lewis later here with news at Ground Zero. We're going to be giving away... Is this right? Yeah, we're going to be giving away $100 in lunch at Billy Reed's. Let me just tell you about Billy Reed's. Well, I'll tell you later. Anyway, so later on today, we're going to be giving away lunch for four, $100. Lunch for four at Billy Reed's. That's this hour. We got today's top five coming up later on and so forth. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. You want to get on board. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. You can also email, if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. This is Hot Talk Tonight, KOTK.
So it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic with Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's got time in it. the radio. Gangsta, yeah. I'm having it.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The Portland Brewing Company has been purchased by Seattle's Pyramid Breweries. The local brewer is best known for its McCartahan's Amber Ale. The two companies say the merger would create the West Coast's third largest craft brewer.
You know, I think we should just go to other cities. We did. Portland people should just go on a big tour of the rest of the country and lord the fact that our beer is better than theirs over everybody else. Because am I correct? I mean, you could just pretty much go to any other country, you know, or any other city in America, right? You could just go to any other state. And the odds, the odds are pretty good that we've got better beer than them, right? I mean, is there anybody, yes. is there any other place in the country where they take it this seriously? I don't think so. Proof of that. I was watching the greatest movie. I was watching this movie called Free Enterprise that Aaron Geek in the City hooked me up with. It's the greatest film. It's got its flaws, but it's kind of the swingers type film. It's about these two kind of Gen X dudes in L.A. and who've got a Shatner fetish, and at the end he raps Julius Caesar. It's a whole thing. Anyway, but I'm watching the movie, and I'm, of course, because I'm a geek, I watch the whole film, and then what do? I go back to the beginning, watch it with commentary. So I'm watching the movie with the commentary on last night. And at one point, there's one of the characters is seen drinking Widmer Hefeweizen. And the movie's made in L.A., and the guys are from L.A., but they're just such big fans of the beer that they had Hefeweizen shipped down from Portland just so it could make a fleeting appearance in this one scene in the film, because they're gigantic fans. And those are guys who are in Los Angeles, you know, a place where they think they have culture. So it just goes to show, man. That's what, see, you live here, you tend to forget how great that is. Portland Brewing. I've been there. That's where they did that Oktoberfest that we talked about. Portland. This is a weird thing, by the way. I went out there to the, because you kind of forget when they say Portland Brewing. Like, you sort of hear that, and it sort of becomes just a brand name in your head after a while, and you forget that it actually is a place where they brew that stuff. You know, and you can take the whole tour and see them make it and everything, and it's bizarre that you see, you know, you can see, like, whatever that, like, that pumpkin drool or whatever that beer is that they sell during the fall, and you can actually see, like, a big vat of it being made right there. It's freaky.
Time for the Bushwatch.
Here's your Bushwatch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bush. Life is hard, that's a path of fame.
When you're president, everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's a man.
Yeah.
That's my bush.
The president responds to David Kaye's findings that there were no WMDs in Iraq after all.
I said in the run-up to the war against Iraq that, first of all, I hope the international community would take care of him. I was hoping the United Nations would enforce its resolutions, one of many. And then we went to the United Nations, of course, and got a overwhelming resolution, 1441, unanimous resolution, that said to Saddam, you must disclose and destroy your weapons programs, which obviously meant the world felt he had such programs. He chose defiance.
Because he didn't have any.
The run-up to the war, what are we, push-starting an Impala? What does that even mean?
Meanwhile, at the same time, the president of Poland was visiting the White House, pushing for visas for visiting Poles, and corrects W on his facts.
We Poland is our great friend. There are thousands of Polish Americans who...
Millions.
Millions, excuse me.
No.
I just don't want to overstate the case here.
Yeah, sure. Especially before the election. Millions and millions.
That love Poland, and that have got relatives in Poland, and we understand the need for dialogue and travel. We've got visa rules set by the Congress that we just that are on the books, and we look forward to working with our president on these issues.
We will work, of course, but I would like to deliver this idea to you and to our friends. The future of the world is without visa, not with visa.
Then the president of Poland corrects W again.
And that also will help on this issue.
It will help very much. We appreciate it very much, but please, dear president, the future is no visa.
All right. Anybody read the? Well, of course, I know the answer to this. The that whole report that Kaye put out about the apparently Iraq was the best place to be employed if you were a scientist for a while because you didn't have to do anything. I guess that was. Look, this is how little life I have. So I'm looking at the the report about weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
And anyway, but apparently the whole deal was that Iraq was paying these scientists, and then they were just doing nothing. Like, they were, you know, Iraq was, you know, they were working as scientists. So Iraq would, you know, Saddam would funnel money to these scientists to develop, you know, whatever weapons program. And the scientists would just take it and blow it on like whores. And then they would just, you know, and then they would just create these completely fictitious, like, they would completely fictitious reports. They would just manufacture them out of whole cloth. And he'd say, well, what about that $9 million they gave you? Oh, yeah, we made this, you know, and it's just like, just a report about something that doesn't even exist at all. I mean, they would just completely fabricate stuff. Not unlike, it's like downloading your, it's like downloading your, you know, your thesis from the internet and patching it in. And so there was, so they would take his money and then they would just go blow it on cocaine and never do anything. And then just give him this stuff that they pulled out of their ass the night before the report was due. And then he would just go, all right, here's more money, go ahead. So.
That's today's Bushwatch.
Here's your Bushwatch for Tuesday.
Kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Well, he's got fire in his belly. John Kerry makes a last-minute push for votes in New Hampshire.
But I believe the president messed up, and I think it's very clear. The president promised to build a legitimate coalition at the United Nations. The president promised to honor the United Nations inspection process. The United Nations was prepared to continue to inspect and to hold Saddam Hussein accountable.
You ever get one of those days where you wake up early in the morning and you can see the gigantic crappy day you're about to have unfolding before you like a bad, you know, sunrise? You know, you can just see the entire terrible day. It's like Michael Keaton talks about this in the movie The Paper. You know, where you can just go, and you can just tell, you know, you can just smell like a tremendously bad day just a-coming, you know, and you want to go back and just pull the comforter over your head and come back out in 24 hours. That's kind of what this is going to be like for the Democratic Party this fall, and as with every percentage point that Kerry gets, you can just, like a tremendous whooping, as my grandmother would say, coming for the Democrats when election time rolls around. I mean, you can just see it now. It's like, I don't even need to... It's like some minority report thing. We don't even need to have the election now because I can already tell you what the outcome's going to be. Just John Kerry taken out back and beaten bloody with a shovel by the Republican Party.
Sounds like Dukakis, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
So anyway, the latest poll shows from Zogby that Dean has lost 10 points in New Hampshire. Pat Buchanan says, of course, Kerry will win and speculates what went wrong with Dean.
It was not simply the beating in Iowa, but I think what happened with that rant, as the people call it, people said, look, he's almost out of control, and I like a lot of what he says, but this guy can't beat the President of the United States. He's fading away, and we better find somebody who can. Howard's problem is it worked, and then he kicked away what it did for him.
Problem is John Kerry can't either.
Yeah, no, there's really, really no way out now.
It's not going to happen.
It's not. I mean, the Democrats have just saved their money, man. They ought to just, you know, they ought to just run a mule at this point. I mean, they just ought to nominate like a potato, you know. And just, well, that's the thing. Or Hillary, you know, at least Hillary, you know, you get some entertainment out of it. John Kerry's, that's the thing about Dean. Look, Dean might not have won. Kerry's not going to win. Hillary isn't going to win. So, you know, if you just sort of take it as red, as the British say, that you're going to lose, you might as well just nominate somebody who's going to give us a few grins and chuckles along the way. I mean, you might as well run Sharpton at this point. I mean, that way we can all have a laugh and whatnot, and you can do some reality series about it, you know? Who wants to head the DNC, you know? It's just sad. All right.
But the greatest loss was there was no camera at the home where Joe Lieberman went hot tubbing with New Hampshire.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
I don't know if he has clothes on or not.
You know, because you just picture the wrinkly skin just sloughing off. You know what I mean? He just looks like he's disintegrating like a hairy prune anyway. You know what I mean? So I don't want to think about that.
An elderly Dutch woman scared a burglar out of her house by repeatedly hitting him over the head with her chamber pot. The 67-year-old woke up in the middle of the night needing the toilet and went into the next room where she kept her chamber pot. But when she got there, she was shocked to find herself face-to-face with a stranger. This according to the Nordholland Dagblad.
We got some stories from the Dagblad before.
Yep. Well, she grabbed the chamber pot and hit the man over the head with it several times, making such a noise she woke up her husband. The burglar was so frightened that he begged to be allowed to leave the house. So the woman opened the front door and he ran into the street. Nothing was stolen.
I don't understand why you still have it. This is 2004. Why would you still have a chamber pot? Where is that?
This would be in the Netherlands.
I thought they were all advanced and whatnot in the Netherlands.
Well, they're not in the countryside.
Okay. It's hard to believe that there's places where you don't have indoor plumbing at this
Southern
at this
States,
point in time. That is, what the hell was I watching the other day? I was watching some documentary somewhere, and they were like in whatever, you know, ass bag Virginia, you know, and they were like interviewing somebody or other who still has an outhouse back, and it doesn't have a little half moon in it, but it was, you know, like literally some guy goes and has to jump in a big wooden shed out behind his house, which it doesn't really seem. It seems like, I mean, not to revisit any unpleasantness, but it seems like, as before we send, like, more broken stuff to Mars, can't we just make sure that everybody's able to whiz inside? Like, can't we just make that one of the, that's what I'm, if I'm elected president, everyone will be able to whiz indoors. You know, it doesn't really seem like that's so far out of line here in 2004. I'll tell you what, let's do this. We'll do the thing that we do. We'll come back. We'll get phone calls when we come back. We'll talk to Laurel and Lake Oswego. We got the CNN radio correspondent John Bisney coming up about the New Hampshire primary. Later on, Jim Rube about the Oscars. Clyde Lewis coming up. And all that's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's like hot tubbing with Dobby the house elf.
Won't
you please vote for me? Please! All right, here's Sarah the traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up here in a few moments, we'll talk about the New Hampshire primary with John Bisney. Later on, Oscar nominations came out today. Jim Rube will be here for that. Clyde Lewis coming up in the third hour. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. In Lake Oswego, it's
yes.
Laurel, a first-time caller. What's up, Laurel?
How you doing, Rick?
What do you got, sister?
Personally, I'm pushing for the Stern Emerson ticket myself.
Yeah, I don't...
There's a lineup for you.
Yeah, I don't know that I want the pay cut.
So. Who's your personal pick for 04? I don't think you've said. Maybe there's a reason for that.
Well, that I would like or that could win?
Well, let's do both.
Because there's no one left now who can. Because here's the thing. See, the Democratic, and I'm not a Democrat, by the way. Let me just say that everybody thinks that I'm.
Oh, really?
Everybody thinks. Well, no, because the Democrats are just. Really, the Democrats are on the inside what the Republicans are on the outside. You know what I mean? Yeah. This year, less so this year. But like in 2000, especially, man, it's like, you know, similar platforms, almost identical financial backers. I mean, in 2000, it was embarrassingly similar. Joe Lieberman's the best example of that. I mean, I have no idea why Joe Lieberman continues to run as a Democrat. It doesn't make any sense at all. But the thing about the Democrats, even though I am not one, it's kind of what's going on, and so I pay a lot of attention to it. But here's the thing. You gotta be like an alpha male to kind of win the presidency, absent any sort of, absent some sort of a crisis. The last time that I think a guy who wasn't an alpha male won the presidency, was Carter, and that was only because of Watergate. Now, the Bushes aren't really alpha males because they're sniveling, pampered, rich boy pussies. But on the other hand, they've convinced everybody that they're from Texas. So that kind of convinces the right wing that they're manly. That sort of blinds the right wing. So all the guys who are alpha males, i.e., Howard Dean, they also tend to be a little bit wacky, which kind of scares people. But then all the guys who, you get the feeling that they're sort of competent, they just don't have any sort of a, Kerry seems like a competent guy, but he's just not a fighter. He seems very dull. He seems like he keeps running to the center and everything.
He didn't do too bad in Vietnam.
No, I mean, I'm not saying he's a sissy. I'm saying his demeanor. It's like Clark is the same way. You know, Wesley Clark, he ran NATO. I mean, right. He was a general, but it's like, but they've done this thing where they've like, I saw him pouring pancakes somewhere the other day and, wearing an Argyle, like a cable knit sweater. It's like you can't, You just can't do that. You can't wear, you can't pour pancakes and wear a sweater and look strong.
You don't get less alpha male, though, than George Bush Jr. They just don't make him less alpha. I'm sorry.
I gotta tell you, though, that, you know, that Edwards guy, though, Matt was just telling me about Edwards.
Yeah.
Man, that guy, you talk about a guy, he's the Antichrist. And I mean that in the best way, because when he speaks, it's like when, remember that guy Ralph Reed who used to head the Christian Coalition?
No.
John, Ralph Reed was this guy that would open his mouth to talk, and he was just like the smoothest, slickest, most charismatic guy. But it was so, so much so that it was unnerving. That's the thing with Edwards. It's like, it's like Clinton times 10, man, and he's 50, but he looks like he's about 29. And he just, and it's like he talks, and it's like you realize that he is the devil. Because it's like you realize he could talk you out of your car keys, your wife, all your money, and your car.
Yeah.
Because he's got so much damn style. So
is it Howard Dean, then, for 04 for Rick Emerson?
I don't know. I mean, if I had to pick, if it was up to me right now, I'd make it either Dean Carey or Dean Clark. Because then you've got a guy who's a little bit freaky, looks like he might stab you if you go, you know, if you push him the wrong way. And then you've got somebody who's, you know, who, you know, is not a military deserter.
Fair enough for me. So, that sounds reasonable.
I'm just saying, it's up to me. That's I'm speaking for sheer entertainment value. That's how I go. So, I'm just making the observation. Here's Tim Riley.
All right, for the Aussie Watch.
Here's your Aussie Watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Jack Osborne speaks. Jack says Ozzy is getting better.
He's doing much better. Yeah, he's doing really well, actually. He's recovering quickly, so that's good.
Here's a strange comment. Jack says the Osbournes wouldn't have been a hit if it wasn't for 9/11.
I know. I never thought people would ever be interested. I definitely think the show was a result of 9/11. I think if that never happened, the show wouldn't have been as successful as it was. Because, you know, it was just been, you know, people would have just looked over it or criticized it more than anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, McRib is back. There's your Aussie Watch for Tuesday. That's the thing we're going to be embarrassed by in a few years. We're going to look back and look at the time in history when we made Jack Osborne a star. We're not going to feel good about that.
So, once again, it's time for the Oscar nominations. Cue the music.
Dope.
The Oscar music.
any moment.
Okay, so the countdown is underway. Actress Sigourney Weaver joined the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Science President Frank Pearson in announcing the nominees for this year's Oscar race at a press conference this morning.
The films selected as the Best Picture nominees for 2003 are The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, Lost in Translation, Ross Katz and Sofia Coppola, producers, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, Mystic River, and Seabiscuit.
Here are the nominees for Best Director.
In the category Best Achievement in Directing, Fernando Mireles for City of God, Peter Jackson for Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, Sofia Coppola for Lost in Translation, Peter Weir for Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, and Clint Eastwood for Mystic River.
Master Commander just sounds like some bad role-playing game, which is why I never saw it. It just seems like something from, you know,
Steve. And it has Russell Crowe in it.
Yeah, who, you know, I'm tired of. The thing about Sofia Coppola is now I'm like the last person on Earth who hasn't seen Lost in Translation. And it has everything going for it. There's no real reason I didn't see it except that I don't make it to the theater at this point for a lot of films just because I'm lazy. And we've talked about it. And I'm lazy and, you know, satellite TV and couch and so forth. Anyway, but Sofia Coppola, I mean, it's, you know, boy, you talk about somebody who had a lot of strikes against her, not just because of the hideous Godfather 3 thing, but also, you know, and just getting a nepotism and so forth. But, man, she's really nailed a few really solid ones. I mean, starting with the Virgin Suicides, which is not a perfect movie, but which is a very good movie. You know, and it's got Bill Murray in it. I'm all for. See, here's what they should do. Bill Murray ought to get the Oscar for acting. I mean, and that's based simply on the fact that he should have gotten one by now anyway, and apparently he's, you know, especially brilliant in this. You know, and then, you know, Sofia Coppola's going to, I mean, presumably she doesn't get hit by a bus or something. She'll have a long career. They can give her something later. If the thing is, Jackson, Lord of the Rings is going to win everything because they've got to do it. It's their last chance because you know that they've put it off, right? That's their whole thing. with Lord of the Rings. So they didn't give anything to Fellowship of the Ring. They didn't really give anything to Two Towers, which I think is the best of the three films. Because they're like, we'll do it when Return of the King comes out. And so they've been putting everything off, knowing that they can sort of, you know, just take care of all the Jacksonian awards this year. So this is the year for him to get everything. Because we had that sound clip the other day where he said he wanted to do The Hobbit, but he didn't think he was, you know, really going to get to do it, and blah blah blah. So this is their last chance to reward Lord of the Rings for everything.
Here are the nominees for Best Actor.
The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role are Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, Ben Kingsley in House of Sand and Fog, Jude Law in Cold Mountain, Bill Murray in Lost in Translation, and Sean Penn in Mystic River.
Here are the nominees for Best Actress.
For Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, the nominees are Keisha Castle Hughes in Whale Rider, Diane Keaton in Something's Gotta Give, Samantha Morton in America, Charlize Theron in Monster, and Naomi Watts in 21 Grams.
It's obviously going to be Charlize Theron because the Academy loves people who disfigure themselves somehow. Like, it's that whole De Niro thing. If you gain weight or knock out a tooth or something. I'm surprised Brad Pitt didn't win something for Fight Club when he notched his teeth up, because the Academy, here's the thing, if you're willing to make your, if you're especially, if it, and this never seems to work the other way, if you're an ugly person who becomes beautiful, you get nothing. If you're a beautiful person who messes yourself all up, then they just trip all over themselves to drool all over your movie. But if you're a beautiful person and you maim yourself somehow or make yourself look physically, you know, like uneffable, for a film, or if you play a gimp or a retard, you'll win. Or if you're someone who dies, you know, or you're blind or something, you know. So that's kind of, I mean, Spy Magazine did this whole chart one time about retarded people and handicapped people, you know, being portrayed and then, you know, winning Academy Awards. And it's like the odds go up exponentially. Also, if you have AIDS in a film, that's, you're guaranteed to win something there. It's kind of the Tom Hanks rule. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A man of Capitol Hill. Are you in New Hampshire, John Bisney?
Absolutely, in downtown Manchester.
So the polls have been open for what there, about 13 hours? 12, what time is it there? It's 3, right? So about 15 hours?
Yeah, some of them opened as early as 6 a.m., some a little bit later. Then it's sort of odd. A few will close at 7 our time, Rick, the rest at 8.
And so what does it look like as we stand now?
John Kerry remains the man to beat. Howard Dean is creeping up on him, but it's going to be probably too little too late. Then the question becomes, who wins the dogfight for third place, Wes Clark, Joe Lieberman, or John Edwards?
And if Dean finishes, I mean, do we think, is it look like it's going to be a strong second for Dean if things hold up as they are now?
Yes, but again, it depends on what polls you look at. We had a slew of them that came out over the past several days. Some said it was closer than others. I still think, based on what I've seen, that, double digits are certainly not out of the question.
And then so, presuming Dean finishes a second, then the whole thing, then it becomes, a big sweep through the South at that point, right, to see who can capture the southern states.
Well, that's right. And next Tuesday, we have Missouri, South Carolina, and some states in the Southwest voting. John Edwards is ahead right now in South Carolina, so he's hoping to get back in the race there and be a real contender.
John Edwards, man, we were just talking about John Edwards a few minutes ago, and politics aside, regardless of what anybody thinks about him politically, man, that guy is just... it's unreal how smooth that guy is. It reminds me, everybody compares him to Bill Clinton, but it's also, it reminds me of looking at you remember Ralph Reed from the Christian Coalition?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, man. He's like 50, but looks like he's 30, and he's just, you know, he's a good-looking guy, and he's slick, and he's smart, and he's, you know, and he's witty, and he's charismatic, and it's kind of unnerving exactly how magnetic that guy seems to be. So it seems like somebody at some point in his campaign, or if he's finishing third or fourth or whatever, ought to latch onto him he says he doesn't want the VP ticket, but it seems inevitable that he might get that extended to him, just the sort of charisma that guy's got.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a highly attractive candidate for VP. And as far as his slickness, I mean, it's no secret he made his fortune as a trial attorney, yeah. And I'm sure he polished those skills in the courtroom very effectively.
Well, and we know that George W. Bush actually has taken notice of him, because there was that comment, and many people have noticed it, there's a comment in the State of the Union where Bush took a swipe at, quote, trial lawyers, which is a lot of people thought was directed right at Edwards. Who would get knocked out by what finish here, do you think, today?
I think it would be very tough for Joe Lieberman to go on much further if he were to come in fourth and certainly fifth. Then, as I say, you move into a group of states next, and that's where you've really got to start spending some money if you want to advertise in all of them. And if you're not a contender, then your donations and your advertising just start to dry up.
And I know Kerry actually, at one point, not too long ago, mortgaged his house to stay in the race. That was pre-Iowa, I guess. And so now he, of course, is probably doing infinitely better because of this. Did you see this thing about Al Franken?
Yes.
And this what I've only kind of briefly read the story, but there was something that happened in Exeter, New Hampshire, where Al Franken apparently he got in some big dust up with a Dean supporter or something, or with a Dean heckler.
Well, yeah, it was a Dean event, and there were some supporters of, believe it or not, Lyndon LaRouche, sort of a gadfly alleged Democratic candidate, and they showed up and just were behaving very poorly, and they were hustled out of the room, and Al Franken decided he was going to be one of the hustlers, and in the fracas, he got his glasses broken at the bridge, and he pasted them together with some yellow gaffer's tape and said he'd just gotten in the mood to be a bodyguard.
Imagine how embarrassing it must be to be physically taken down by Al Franken.
You know, it's really true. I ran into Al Franken at the Des Moines airport. I got to tell you, Rick, you like this story. And he was trying to cut into the front of the security line, which was about an hour and a half long.
Uh-huh.
And they told him, sorry, pal, back of the line.
Yeah. You know, I thought Lyndon LaRouche was dead.
I thought he was in prison. I just saw him this morning over at the Wayfair restaurant.
Actually, you can never... This is why people don't appreciate the entertainment value here, but that's why this is the greatest country, you know? Because you could, you know, you just wake up.
This? I leave the Wayfair restaurant, and there's a guy outside in a carrot suit, and he's running for the nomination.
You don't have that in Baghdad, my
no.
friend. Excellent. There you go. There's CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. Al Franken, a carrot suit, and Lyndon LaRouche isn't dead. Well done. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We want to welcome a new sponsor to the Rick Emerson Show, which you're going to hear about more here in a short while. But right now, suffice it to say this, we're going to take caller number five. Caller number five, and you're going to get lunch for four at Billy Reed's, a fine location. We had our listener party there in, June, something like that. Caller number five at 503-250-1080 in Portland. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. You win lunch for four. Lunch for four at Billy Reed's restaurant. Stay there. We'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Indeed, Lee Wright. Sarah has the traffic.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-7. Damn, now I'm hungry. Give me some pastrami. What was I doing? Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Time for the Snuff Watch.
Here's your Snuff Watch for Tuesday in the Rick Emerson Show.
They were all my friends. Damn!
Wah! Now you probably seen him on those old kinescopes. He was a pioneer of late-night television on The Tonight Show, where he served as host from 1957 to 1962, right before Carson. Jack Parr died today in his home in Connecticut. Old actors go to die, apparently. He was 85 years old. His son-in-law said he died after a long illness. His show was known for its literate conversation. After he left his host, Johnny Carson became his successor. In 1960, Parr made an emotional and much-publicized departure from the show. He walked right off the set at the start of the broadcast because of a dispute with NBC censors.
Is this because they wouldn't let him say water closet?
Water closet, yeah. Water closet, another term for bathroom. NBC was able to lure him back 5 weeks later. So he really hadn't done anything since then, really.
No, well, that's his whole thing. He's been Jack Parr, the guy who used to host The Tonight Show. That was kind of his whole shtick. But he was so much different. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that most people aren't familiar with.
He's kind of like a Dick Cavett.
Well, and Jack Parr's whole thing with these long sort of monologues about his daily life, and he was, you know, he was known for being really emotional on the air at times, and just a mile. I mean, you know, a different animal than Johnny Carson in every way. So dead at what? 86?
85.
85. So there you go. There's your snuff watch for Tuesday. Jack Parr, dead at 85.
They were on my friends and just here on hand and ground and bound again. Hi, sports fans. Those hosting Super Bowl parties this weekend still have a few days to stock up on a variety of food and drink. But the customary alcoholic beverages and snacks might not be desirable for those wanting to keep a New Year's resolution to lose weight and eat healthily. Leslie B. Dinger of the State Department of Health in Texas says party hosts can give their guests better nutritional choices.
Trying to incorporate fruits and vegetables in instead of just chips and dips and other things, having vegetables along with chips so people have choices.
Is that like I'm a diet hotline or something? Where's that from?
Texas.
Okay. That explains it all.
Why don't you add some low-fat substitutes to the party menu?
If you're looking at, for instance, dips that you might have, instead of the full sour cream French dip or something like that. Of course, you can do a low-fat sour cream or a low-fat cream cheese, or having something like pico de gallo, or having something with just a lot of vegetables in it that would be a healthier option.
Yes.
A football fan wouldn't want that.
Sure, if you
want
to suck out all the joy of living, if you want to extract everything good and wonderful and great and tasty about this life, if you want to reduce my life to so many grains of flavorless sand through the hourglass, Jesus God. Sorry.
There will be very, very few of those type of low-fat treats.
Because no one likes it. Look, I'm all for pico de gallo. But can I just say that right now?
It's a gesture because we care about this community.
I go on the record right now as saying that I like pico de gallo. It's a fine thing. A little lime juice in there, you know. It's, you know, I'm all for that. But, I mean, there's stuff that's supposed to... I'm going to save it. Hold on. Pico de gallo. Pico de gallo. All right. Okay, I'll do it later. Hey, it's Jim Riley.
In 50 Dates, Drew Barrymore falls in love with Henry, Adam Sandler, over and over again due to a short memory loss. I spoke with Drew recently. She says she entertained the idea of being a dramatic, depressed person, but discovered there was no fun in it.
Oh, do we not have time? What time is it?
Oh,
okay.
Well, maybe okay.
Well, we'll
do these at 1:20.
Yeah, all right.
I promise.
Well, I mean, because the movie, I don't know anything about the, except the description I've read, but it seems stunningly like another film that we all know and love anyway. So I'm not really sure that it's a movie that anybody needs. It seems, read the premise of the film again.
Let's see. Drew Barrymore falls in love with Henry, who's Adam Sandler, over and over due to her short memory loss.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you've seen Groundhog Day, but this does, in fact, I read another description of the film which said that she does, in fact, in her mind, live the same day over and over and over again because she has a short term and then at the end she meets someone that she falls in love with who teaches her to care. And, which is just, it's just Groundhog Day. Don't see it. Save your money. And don't have pico de gallo on Sunday either. Be a man. Just, you know, eat something melted that's cheesy and, you know, with fat. We'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We've got more on the way, including Terry in Portland. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop's going to talk to us about the Oscar nominations. Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero and more. Stay there.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's a minute after 1. I'm Jim Riley. Multnomah County deputies have seized $15,000 worth of methamphetamine from an East Portland house this morning. An informant tipped off the sheriff's office of an alleged meth lab at a house in the 2100 block of Northeast 143rd Avenue near Division. After obtaining permission from the homeowner to search the house, deputies found a pound of methamphetamine and another pound of chemical used to make the drugs. No arrests have been made. The house has been a target of neighborhood complaints for years. The home where the meth lab was found near a private school. A man who jumped into the Santiam River last night after a police chase might have died of hypothermia, water temperature 45 degrees. Critics say that the law treats polluters with a one-size-fits-all attitude, but a new proposal is underway that might change that. Under the new rules, more polluters would wind up paying larger penalties. Rain likely this afternoon, highs 45 to 50. Rainy and breezy tonight, rain tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.